You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. You can check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. So, we have a very special show today, and we are joined by our only correspondent with a theme song, Dark U.S. Rybar. You ready, Dave?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's do it. All right.
Okay.
Docubus. Rybar. Docubus. Rybar. Docubus. Rybar.
Okay.
I think that was good. I was about to get excited. I was about to go like crazy on that, and I was like, you know what? I gotta keep my energy because this is a show
it's
I need
a
my
long,
energy for.
Long
you,
now.
You look like Meatloaf in the recording studio. Oh. Really looked good.
You know what? I gotta tell you, thanks with the beard and the hair. I gotta tell you, we will be talking about Meatloaf later on because he is topical to the show that we'll
you know,
be doing.
Can we just always refer to him by his full name, Meatloaf a day? Come on, guys.
I have a Meatloaf a day sometimes, not every day, but.
Meatloaf.
So Darkubus Rybar.
Yes.
Have you heard?
Wait, you're Darkubus Rybar.
That's Darkubus Rybar.
Yes, that's
Have you heard that not only is this show 3 hours now,
but it
replays on Fridays. Fridays at noon.
Wow.
I know.
I can't
that's crazy.
Believe it. It is
People
crazy.
Can listen to you now, and then they can listen to you again tomorrow.
Why?
Because you're awesome. Don't you know that?
Yes.
You have a theme song. Come on.
I mean, duh. Everyone knows that guy with a theme song is totally awesome.
This
Seriously.
Is true.
I mean, don't be mental.
Right?
Just like Shaft.
Exactly. See? It worked well for him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his big score.
Hell yeah.
And his Africa.
I think he went to Africa. And his Africa. So, anime, what are we talking about on the show?
Well, we have a very special ed show.
Special show
for you planned for you guys today. We've got I guess we will be calling it Geek World versus Uva Bowl.
Yes.
Uva Bowl.
Uva. But before we get stupid, we're actually going to take a little while to be smart. We have a great interview from our time at Phoenix Comic Con with Dr. Kevin Grazier. He was the science consultant for like Battlestar Galactica and Eureka, and he's super cool. He's on like all those shows where like Discovery Channel where like they talk about like blowing up the world, and he's actually one of the guys that doesn't get all like super excited about the idea of the world blowing up. Like you know, he's actually just really cool.
Yes, he's very very cool. And you know, I often like to pontificate about how the world will end, but. Unfortunately, I do not have a PhD in physics, so I'm just sort of a guy talking about it. Just sort of a guy holding up a cardboard, you know, saying the end
doesn't
is
stop
not.
You from contemplating, though.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You can contemplate
and,
all you want.
You know, later on, we will also be talking about the end of the world when we talk about Uwe Boll movies, but
yes.
We should probably do this interview, huh?
But right now, this is our interview with Dr. Kevin Grazier, so stick around for some Uwe Boll afterwards, but right now, this is Geek World's interview with Dr. Kevin Grazier.
So we are at the Phoenix Comic Con with Dr. Kevin Grazier. And first off, let's see, you've consulted on shows like Battlestar Galactica and Eureka.
Very much like Battlestar Galactica
well,
and Eureka.
Yes,
yeah.
Actually, precisely
exactly like
them, yes. So what's the strangest science question that you've ever been asked to consult on?
Oh, good heavens, the strangest science question. My mind is blanked. I don't know. There's, you know, in Battlestar, there weren't any things that were really that out there. There's some things that I've had to justify that were kind of fun. Jimmy Paglia, the executive producer of Eureka, who's here, he talks about how in the first season he wanted to have somebody running so fast that you can actually run across the water. And I pointed out to run that fast would be like Mach 36, and his skin would be flailed off. And he said, "Well, tough, I'm gonna do it anyway." So that was one of the more the fun things is justifying how somebody could run so fast that you can't see them, and not have his skin flailed off by the speed. But no, I wouldn't say that's particularly bizarre though. That was just stands out as far as memorable, simply because Jamie Paglia tells that story so often. And you know. Gosh, I don't know about what's the most bizarre. We've done some pretty bizarre things in Eureka.
Right.
And nothing really stands out as far as being particularly more bizarre than any of the other things we've done in Eureka.
What do you think is the most scientifically accurate television show on right now?
Since you didn't qualify that, probably the Universe and History Channel?
Fictional. Let's go fictional.
Sci-fi. Oh, okay. I hate to say it, but I don't get a chance to watch much sci-fi anymore. I'm just too busy. I watch the shows on which I work. I watch Battlestar. I watch Caprica. I watch Doctor Who. But Caprica's pretty good.
Yeah.
They have a tech advisor, and it's not me. Not that I'm bitter. No, actually, I'm not. They have a robotics person who works on Caprica, and I've enjoyed that so far.
Right.
Caprica was simply because I haven't seen much else out there. I watched Doctor Who, and they come out and say they don't try to be that accurate. They do as best they can, but they don't have an advisor or anything like that. I'll go with Caprica.
Okay. Do you have any favorite scientifically accurate fictional movies?
2010.
Ah.
I used 2010 in my class. I taught a class at UCLA on the science of science fiction. And the scene where Leonov and Discovery are mated, and they use Discovery as a booster, I showed that scene in class and said, "Give me three examples. I'll give you examples of all three of Newton's laws in that scene." I liked how when they found Discovery in orbit around Io, it's coated in sulfur, which Io's volcanoes are sulfur. 2010 is one of my all-time faves, and partly because of the technical accuracy in that.
We got less than a year and a half till 2012. How will the Earth be destroyed? Or at least how will we be destroyed?
The Earth will be destroyed in about a few billion years when the sun, the red giant phase and stuff. 2012, I'm really not convinced anything bad's going to happen. But what's funny about the 2012 thing is, a lot of your doomsday scenario people, they assume the public has a very short memory, and usually they're right. One of the things that's gotten rolled up in the whole 2012 hoopla is the whole Nibiru issue about this planet. It depends on which story you believe, but supposedly there's this planet that comes by Earth every 3,600 years, and the Nibiruans get off and they grab humans for the ice mines, or depending on which version, there's the extreme tidal effects that they're going to cause Earth to be destroyed. And what people forget is that this was brought out a few years ago. In 2001, Nibiru was supposed to come by in 2003, and when that didn't happen, it just incorporated it part of 2012. The person with the sign that it says the world will end tomorrow, when the world doesn't end tomorrow, they don't say, I was wrong, go away. They just change the date, and that's kind of what's happening. Usually the people who are raising fears about 2012 are trying to sell you a book at the same time.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. I also wanted to ask, we know you're working on a new project with Ron Moore. Can you talk at all about that?
You read IMDb, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's called Untitled. Ron Moore.
It is called Untitled, Ron. And I don't know that it has a title yet, other than the UA project. And I don't know how much I can say.
Okay.
I don't know how much I can say. It's Ron's writing something for Unite Arts, and it's on IMDb.
Sweet.
And I work on it.
Nice. Okay. Sweet. Well, we can't wait for that.
What I can say is that this is amusing. When at the time when I worked on that, I was redoing my dining room, and so because of having worked on that project, and at a convenient time. In my dining room, I now have the Ron D. Moore commemorative server.
Nice.
when you watch TV and movies, does it bother you? Do any of the scientific inaccuracies bother you?
It depends on how glaring and how glaring they are. And what bothers me is when it could have been equally well done or better if done correctly. That's what gets me. I mean, all sci-fi has a conceit or two that you if you do this, okay, we'll buy into it as long as you're consistent.
Right.
And if you're consistent, okay, I'm with you. If you consistently do it incorrectly or do it this way, we're good. Lightsabers.
Right.
We know lightsabers can exist. Doesn't mean I don't want one.
Yeah.
It means that, we get it. Okay, I'll work with you on that. when you change the rules so they go, that's when you start kind of, stepping back and saying, hang on. But there are some things that you see that they could have done equally, they could have done correctly and just chose not to, or for whatever reason, and that's when I go, ooh, that's what bothers me. When it could have gotten it right and and with the same effect or better.
Right. Can you think of any specific glaring errors that, that really bugged you when you saw them?
Yes.
What's that?
Please let us know.
Yes.
Sunshine, I watched recently, and there were the notion you can restart the sun with well, firstly, they had this trigger, the size, it's the mass of Manhattan.
Right.
How deep? Is it just the buildings? Is it, okay. I thought it was kind of funny. It looked kind of like a big matchstick. They're restarting the sun with a big matchstick. But as I understood it, as I watched it, it seemed to be implied that in their gravity sister on Mercury, they went around and then came out, and then that's gravity sister is a one-pass event. That's a small thing, but again, you asked what irks me, and it's like that could have been done easily, done correctly. You know, and it's funny, it's like they have this big hollow sphere that could have been condensed much smaller.
Right.
And, you know, it takes about 100 pounds of mass back of the envelope to get a pound into orbit. So how much mass of air fills that thing just so they could have a big dramatic scene at the end? You know, things like that, just, I look at it. And, you know, actually, there's another implication that when you see it initially, it's radially heading towards the sun.
Uh-huh.
No, it wouldn't be. And I just did the calculation for something else for a book I'm working on, and it's actually, from an energy standpoint, did you know the sun's actually the most difficult star to get to in the universe?
Huh.
So, yeah, that's tough to get to our sun.
That's crazy.
With our big matchstick to restart the sun.
Well, you know, what are you going to do, send a big Zippo?
Yeah. Actually, you know, but I enjoyed the movie as a generality.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I thought that was a cool movie. It was a neat take that usually... they said this in the DVD extras that usually you run to the away from the dark, here you're running away from the light.
Yeah.
So that was a cool twist on things. But there's things, again, an example of things that could have been done perfectly and with not a bit of sacrifice in the dramatic take of the movie.
I'm actually glad you brought up Sunshine. Sunshine has a really great science commentary on it. Have you ever been asked to do a science commentary on anything?
I did. I did the science commentary on episode 10 of Fringe last year.
Oh, really?
The episode was called Safe. Do you remember? Do you watch Fringe?
We started, but didn't get through it.
In this episode of Fringe, these people were systematically robbing safe deposit boxes, and they had a device where you could literally walk through the walls and rob it, and walk back through the walls.
Uh-huh.
And I was asked to comment on that. One of the bank robbers gets stuck in the wall, and I said, "You know, what a stud!" Stud. I don't even know if I can watch myself on that one. I don't like watching myself. Firstly, and secondly, I came up with too many bad puns, and if they used them all, it's gonna be kind of humiliating.
Speaking of J.J. Abrams shows, The Lost just ended, and in the end, we found out that the man in black...
Oh, you haven't
seen it?
Oh.
I have not seen the last...
Oh, okay. In that case, we will not ask
your
question.
Okay, wait. Then let me ask.
I need to see the last season. So unfortunately, I've seen too much. I got out of sync. I wasn't watching Lost, so I figured I'll get it on the DVD.
Right.
And unfortunately, there are TVs at my gym right in front of me, and so I've saw Ben strangle Locke, and I have no idea what's going on there, because then I saw Locke in like a later episode again on the Stairmaster machine, so I don't know what's going on, and so I don't know the end. I know, like the Battlestar finale, the feelings are mixed, and I'm avoiding why they're mixed and what that means. And
well, this will not give anything away.
Better not.
They use a wheel to harness electromagnetic activity. Just a wheel. Can a wheel be used to harness electromagnetic activity?
Sure, if you put a magnet in the middle of it. It's called a turbine or a generator.
Ah.
Spinning magnet in a coil. And if there's a coil in the wheel, that's how a generator works.
And did they know this in 55 AD?
I doubt it. 55 AD, okay? Okay.
Okay. You'll understand. So, you will understand.
I have a very important question right now. You know that show Numbers, how they use math to solve crimes? Have you ever used physics to solve a crime?
I'm trying to think of a smart Alex that when that coming. I have never solved any crimes. So, other than, like, in screenplays crimes, but no, I've not used physics to solve a crime.
I have a feeling you could at some point. I have a feeling if, you know, there was a proper crime, you go in there and just, like, you know, tell them what for. I don't know. I kind of lost that one. We should move on.
So how did you get into consulting for the entertainment industry?
actually started, believe it or not, more right brain than left brain. I've been watching Voyager, Star Trek Voyager, and a friend and I, we agreed that around season two, we thought the show had a lot of potential that it wasn't realized, and we thought it really could go someplace, and it was just kind of typical Star Trek. So back then, Star Trek was one of the few shows that took unsolicited manuscripts, both DS9 and Voyager, meaning you could, as a fan, write a story, send it in, and Paramount would read it. Now, that's all they promised. They said, we will promise you it'll get read, and you'll get it back, and that's all we'll promise, because they said up front, we get like 3,000 scripts a year. Good outcome happens to single digits. All we'll promise is you'll get read and you'll get it back. So Buddy and I wrote a script, and we sent it in, and 7 months to the day, we heard back that the executive producer loves your story, goes in a direction you don't really want to go, so we're not going to use it. But they invited us to pitch stories, and pitched several times. Two of the people to whom I pitched, Brian Fuller, who's known for Pushing Daisies, did a Dead Like Me, and Michael Taylor, who wrote what I think is the single best episode of a Star Trek series ever. He wrote a Deep Space Nine episode called The Visitor. And, you know, the first time I pitched him, it was like, you know, we're not worthy. And I pitched to those two gentlemen and stayed in touch more with Brian than Michael. And then when Battlestar came online, I stayed in touch with Brian, and he pitched me to Ron as a science advisor. You know, he said, so, hey, if you need a science advisor, I know this guy. And Ron brought me in for an interview. It was a pretty short interview. Basically, are you alive? Yes. Here's Bible. Here's 33. Here's water. Have at it. And then a couple days later, I'd been friends with Richard Hatch for years, and he was talking to Ron about his role as Tom Zarek. And as he was leaving, he said, oh, by the way, if you need a science advisor, I know this guy. And Ron said, oh, we're already talking to somebody. And they were referring to the same person. So I guess it was my job. That sounds really arrogant, but like everybody's worked on that show on Battlestar, you'll notice to a person, everybody talks about what a privilege it was. Yeah. And it really was. It's like, I literally started reading 33, and I got five pages. This is not an exaggeration. I got five pages in. I called the woman I was dating at the time and said, I have just landed a job on the best sci-fi series ever. Yeah. And it was like, you know, yeah, not that you're biased or anything. And it was. It was. Yeah. It really was. I believe that.
So what's the reality of Cylons?
November 1st, there's a book coming out I co-authored with Patrick DeGiusto called The Science of Battlestar Galactica, and we explain that. Ah. And to be honest, you'll be surprised how simple a modification to the basic human form it is to get a Cylon.
Huh.
It really is. It's you know, it's something that a lot of fans have complained about how seemingly contradictory the Cylons are. How do they shove that cable? How did Sharon... Athena, yeah, shove the cable up her arm, and how did this and this, that, and the other? Honestly, it's not that hard. You'd be surprised how simple it is, but it's in the book.
Okay.
What's funny is my co-author had written a book about how contradictory the Cylons seem to be, and we had this discussion over email about. I said, no, this is explained. If this is your model for Cylon, it explains this, 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 and this. And we had this back and forth, this debate, and he knows how frustrated I would get sometimes with fan comments, because I unfortunately would go online sometimes after a show and see people complain about the science, and it just wasn't always the case that their complaints were exactly accurate. I would get frustrated and angry, and I've shared that with my co-author. So what he did it's a masterstroke. He took that sentiment and our email debate. He took our email debate basically and. The whole chapter on Cylon biology is written as a hypothetical conversation between a real scientist and a smart-ass fanboy.
That's fantastic.
And that's even the title of Viz, the Cylon biology.
That's really funny.
And it's one chapter.
That's pretty genius, I gotta say.
He did a good job with that. I thought that was a masterstroke.
That's great. Let me ask, is there any science fiction that's influenced your work as a scientist?
Some scientists would argue that my science is science fiction.
Oh.
No, I don't think so. I mean, other than the fact that growing up, I think a lot of people, you know, who watched original things like original Star Trek or Space 1999, you know, we wanted to be in that, you know, in that environment. So I think it certainly motivated people to go into science, and I can claim that as to be true.
That's cool.
In fact, if you walk through where I work, I mean, be amazed at the number of action figures and things that adorn people's offices.
I bet.
I personally have a life-size Cylon Centurion poster next to my office.
Wow.
My Cylon Overlord.
That's awesome.
It is.
You know, speaking of that, I actually want to know what the most likely scenario for mankind is. To be enslaved by robots we created or to be enslaved by alien overlords? Scientifically, of course, yeah. It's most likely.
Scientifically, well... I'm going to go with the word you used, most likely. So, you know, a millionth of a percent is greater than a billionth of a percent. I'd go with the singularity route. You know, the whole singularity is near, the idea that we're building machines that will eventually be able to recreate themselves and not need us anymore. So we'll go with the whole Cylon scenario as opposed to the ID4 scenario.
Gotcha. Good call.
Were you a big fan of sci-fi as a kid?
Oh, hell yes.
What were some of your favorites?
Like I said, the original Star Trek, Space 1999, those were good ones. There was one called The Fantastic Journey. It took place on an island with a bunch of different time zones. Fantastic Journey? Yeah, and that was... It showed sporadically. It didn't show every week, but that was, it was pretty cool, and it didn't last very long. I also liked The Man from Atlantis. I like the four original movies. It's got to be a series. I wasn't quite as keen on it, but the four original movies are really good, I thought. Do you remember The Man from Atlantis? Yeah, I did. That's okay. No, how do you think this? So there are a lot of things I watched. Again, I gobbled it up as a kid. I couldn't watch it. You know, when I was a kid, they did a few Doctor Who movies where Peter Cushing is the Doctor.
Yeah.
Daleks scared the crap out of me as a kid.
Do you still watch the new Doctor Who?
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, I like Matt Smith.
Yeah.
I think Matt Smith runs the risk of, like Martha Jones. I think Martha Jones had the unfortunate event of following a very popular companion. And I don't think she got a chance. I liked her as a companion, and I don't think she got a chance. I think there's that potential with Matt Smith is that David Tennant was extremely popular. I like David Tennant. I think it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And so you got to, you know, I think people have to give him a chance, and I think he's done a great job so far. So I just hope that he gets the chance that he's deserving in the role.
Is there ever any chance of a sonic screwdriver happening?
A sonic screw loosener would be certainly, you know, very doable, but...
good enough.
Yeah.
We actually just got into Doctor Who a few months ago, like big time. We got through all the new reboot, and we started going through the old ones.
So we have like 34 seasons
exactly.
More to go. Yeah.
Which is great, which we're really happy about. I'm not really sure if that's a question or not, but I just like talking about Doctor Who.
I do too. Big fan. Going way back. It was every Sunday night, you know, at Purdue, we were in range of WTTW in Chicago, which was, for years, like probably the best station in the country for watching Doctor Who. And every Sunday night, it's pile on Grazier's room and watch Doctor Who. I think we had as many as 14 people in a dorm room once.
Wow.
Which, pretty small dorm room, and that's a lot of people. So it got really warm.
That's awesome. You know, let me ask a question. There are 11 doctors. Which is your favorite doctor?
Probably David Tennant, but before that, Peter Davison.
Yeah.
Which is also David Tennant's favorite.
Yeah, they did that Time Crash, I believe it was called.
I was disappointed in that. I thought, I didn't think they wrote Peter Davison very well in that. I thought they wrote him more like Hartnell. I thought they wrote him very crotchety. He was never that crotchety when he played the Doctor.
Because he was like the younger, cooler Doctor. That was kind of his thing, right?
He was, and he was very crotchety in Time Crash. I was disappointed. I mean, I think they used him because David Tennant, that was his favorite Doctor. And,
right.
And so, in fact, he said something like, "You're my Doctor, Doctor." I don't remember exactly what he said, but that was a reference to Peter Davison being his previous favorite.
Yeah.
And I thought Peter Davison was fantastic. Didn't last long enough for my taste. I wish he would add a few more seasons.
Yeah, totally. Let's see.
When you get together with your friends who are also in fields of science, is it ever anything like The Big Bang Theory? The TV show?
Wow. Yeah.
Do you know a Sheldon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, see, Big Bang Theory is real and accurate.
Well, we love that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sad thing. It is.
How is their science when they do go into little science things?
Oh, they're really good.
Really good.
It really is, and their geek references are primo too. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of episodes, but everything I want, like, oh my god, these people are bigger geeks than I am, maybe. I've learned to embrace my nerddom long ago. I stopped caring who cares if I'm a nerd. I just, yeah.
When did you first realize you were a nerd?
Oh, long ago.
Yeah.
Just admitting to it was, there's the whole 12-step process. And
true. So. Okay. If I were a supervillain and I wanted to trigger the most flashy way to destroy the Earth, what would I do?
Well, what tech do you have access to?
I have access to anything I want. I just want it big and flashy when I destroy the Earth.
Well, big antimatter explosion would be really good. That'd be a big flash.
Ooh. What kind of flash would it be?
Gamma rays.
Ooh. Nice.
Ooh. Would that produce the Hulk?
No, it would vaporize the Hulk.
Yes!
Even the Red Hulk?
That one's lost on me.
Oh, yeah. It's the new
recent
Hulk.
Recent incarnation.
Sort of indestructible, and they don't know a lot about him yet, so.
Wow.
And I just have to ask, too, what's your favorite Doctor Who villain? I'm assuming, I know mine is the Daleks, and it is for most people. And I know you had said you liked the Daleks before, but would that be your favorite?
Yeah, I like the Daleks. John Sim as a master, he was fantastic. He was brilliant as a master. I thought he did a good job. They did a good job explaining in that with how he ended up being kind of psycho. I'm trying to think of anybody else over the years. There have been so many. I did like Shara's Jack, who was in Caves of Androzani, last episode of Peter Davison, who was essentially Doctor Who does... word I'm looking for, the play I'm looking for. God, I'm blanking. There's it's a famous play that's a takeoff on.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera. Yes, thank you. So yeah, Shara's Jack was a favorite. Funny thing is, I have a pet rat whose coloration is like Shara's Jack, and I have on my Facebook page side by side and separated at birth?
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, we actually got to see that one while we were doing research for a big show, and it was a great episode.
It was.
A lot of people think that's one of the best ones.
It's not the best ever, yeah. There's a different feel between the old and new, but certainly the old, I think it's definitely my favorite of all time.
Awesome.
How important do you think it is for science fiction to get their science accurate?
Depends on the science fiction. Star Wars, for example, which I think is more science fantasy, they create a universe that they're pretty consistent in, and as long as you're consistent, like I said, you have a few conceits, we'll go with you. Do they need to get their science right? No. And do we care? No. Other places like in Galactica, you watch in Galactica, you kind of expected it to be some accurate, and... You know, a mantra of a screenwriter is to never wake the audience from your dream.
Right.
And people will sit there watching your show, and if you get something really, really egregiously wrong, they'll step back and say, hang on, and they stop being immersed in your world, and they're now a person sitting in the room in the 21st century. So, and Galactica, it was really important that we got it pretty close to bigger. And for the most part, we did really well. I certainly, at any... The whole time, I always thought I was listened to on that. So there, it's important. Star Trek, Star Trek is very futuristic. Star Trek, they're allowed to be more speculative. Eureka, we're allowed to be more speculative. There's the gamut, and it is again, as long as you create a world and you're self-consistent, I think people will go with you on that.
I saw that you were an editor on a book about the science of Dune.
It was.
Which actually happens to be my favorite book of all time. My question is this scientifically possible to make a good Dune movie?
Yeah, maybe 10 hours long.
Yeah.
Okay, one more question. Not really a question, but say something that sounds really cool in physics speak that we totally won't understand.
Well, I just worked on a first half of the paper we're going to be submitting soon to a math journal on looking at the numerically simulating a close approach between a planetesimal and a planet and accurately simulating the varying time scales involved in such a close approach. I don't know if that's...
I understood numerical and planetary.
I understood planet. Yeah. That's pretty much it. And just for myself, I just want to know, what's your favorite Dune book?
Dune.
Yeah. I think... for me, it's also Dune, but also a God Emperor. I think.
But Science of Dune was pretty good, too.
Yes. We'll have to check that out. But thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we are back. You're listening.
Thank you.
That was our Kevin Grazier interview.
So cool. Anytime we can just stand there and talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a great moment.
Yeah. So thanks to Dr. Kevin Grazier for taking the time to interview with us at Phoenix Comic Con.
Yes.
But that was the smart portion of our show.
Yes, it's going to go all downhill from here.
Yeah. So before we get into our Uwe Boll show, we're gonna play a little song for you and then we'll be back, and it'll be all bowl all the time from there. So
for better or for worse, whether you like it or not.
Probably mostly worse, but
yes,
definitely
worse.
I'm not judging. Yeah.
There's no possibility it could be better, actually.
Yeah. We're back. You're listening to Geek World.
In a world of chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World. Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
Well, now we're back because sometimes I forget myself.
Yeah, good job.
Whatever. Nice. I'm feeling confused.
I got to. Yeah, no. Because of all the Uwe Boll stuff going on.
Yeah.
Confuses you.
It's very confusing.
I know. Anyways, we're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, super host, Anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek with our awesome, awesome correspondent, Darkybus Rybar.
Correspondent.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all like professional sounding.
Special and stuff, yeah.
Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. If you check out our website at geekworldradio.com, you can see our pictures from Phoenix Comic Con.
Yes. Lots and lots of pictures, lots of cosplay going on.
Mm-hmm.
Good times had by all. A lot of really good costumes, too. It's really cool to see costumes that you can tell people spend a lot of time at home doing, and they're really super sweet. Just shows how awesome we geeks can be when we know how to, sew things together and stuff.
We have now been through the smart section of our show.
Yes, that's all over now.
Dr. Kevin Grazier is done.
This is the place where I'm going to shine.
It is now time for us all to get a little dumber.
Yes.
This is...
And dumber.
Our Uwe Boll show.
Oh, yes. I have to say, I always thought his name was Uwe Boll.
I always thought it was Ew.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people, actually, to be frank, we were watching a video game documentary the other day, and people do call him Uwe Boll, but apparently it is Uwe Boll.
Yeah. Uwe Boll.
Uwe Boll. So everyone say it together. Ready?
Uwe Boll.
And now you can say it however the hell you want, because we've now established how to say his name.
Yeah.
And
we've established we know how to properly say his name, so whether or not we get it right now, that's like we should show him the same respect that he shows movies.
If you are to show him some respect, however, we should call him Dr. Boll.
Right.
Yes,
yes,
of course.
Doctor. With his doctorate in literature.
Yes, he is a doctor.
Wow.
Much like Dr. Doom or any other evil, sadistic doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His respect, he deserves it.
Like Dr. Kieran. Which we'll be getting to that.
I think that his doctoral thesis was why stories don't need plots.
Yes. I'll have to agree with that.
I don't actually know.
Or at least.
But that's I truly believe that was his thesis, because that seems to be how he, functions when he makes movies.
I think his doctoral thesis was how to sucker Hollywood.
Actually, it's how to sucker the German taxpayer.
Yes, exactly. I think that was it. But, I think that before we start talking about the many films, let's not use the word films, movies, I guess. Can you call it movies? Is okay, right? Is movies?
Yeah.
We'll use that term.
They are.
That's true. Yes. Loosely, the movies of Uwe Boll. First, we have a little game.
Another freaking game.
Yeah, this one, Rybar, we are attacking you again with the game.
In the tradition,
do I always get attacked with games?
Well, you can come in and try and attack us with the game. Yeah. You're welcome to game us sometimes if you want to.
Oh boy!
We can't help ourselves. Yes. Sometimes these things they just come up and we go, what?
You play a game with Uwe Boll, it's like you lose no matter what.
I know. Good call.
Very good call.
This game is actually, you've played this game before for the Blaxploitation show.
Yes.
Okay? This is just the quote game.
Yes.
You're going to get a quote, and we'll even give you a tiny bit of context with the quote.
Yes.
And you just have to figure out, try and guess one of the movies, one of Uwe Boll's movies. Just guess. Throw any guess out there.
I'll give you the first problem with this.
Yes.
I don't remember a single line from a single.
That's the point. It doesn't matter. These are all fairly ambiguous.
We're not going to hold this against you. Yeah. Actually, the better you do, probably the worse it makes you look.
Yeah,
and that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Well, we're going to do the game either way. Yeah. Even though we do know that you've only seen a handful of Uva's magnum opus.
But even if you had seen them all, you still would probably get about the same.
So here we go. This is the Uva Bowl movie quote game. Brought to you by Dark Uvis Rybar.
Oh, no, brought to you by Geek World. Yes, brought to you by Dark Uvis Rybar.
Brought to you by his writers.
Brought to you by Hell and his writers and Satan. Okay, this one's actually kind of easy. I think if you think about it for a second, you'll be able to figure this one out. Ready? This is the first quote. And I quote, "Give me a break. These are zombies, pure and simple."
I'm going to have to go with House of the Dead on that one.
Mm-hmm. Ding, 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 ding.
You didn't even need to give him any context.
But you know, I mean, the only other quotes I know from his movies are, "God, this sucks," and they usually come from me. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was good. You know, I didn't think it needed context because, you know. Rybar was like, He was on it. All right, now so you already got one for one. That's awesome, dude.
That's
great.
Not awesome. Well, because I was, don't want to like appear like I know any of this stuff.
Well, don't worry, because you know this one too. You might know this one. Okay, so here we go. This is number two of the Uwe Boll quotes. Or, I'm sorry, the Uwe Boll movie quotes.
Uwe Boll.
Uwe, thank you. See, there we go.
Right,
the Uwe Boll. Okay, here we go. "And thou shalt know that the last day of judgment will begin when someday a tiny entertainer will get raped by 1,000 monkeys." I bet you know this one too,
wow.
Don't you?
You know, this is like a different type of sabotage.
I know.
You're actually finding the ones I know.
As time goes on, though, you won't get them.
Yeah, we decided to start with
making
two that were
like I'm the president of the fan club.
We had to give a few just to get into the game, because I think when we did the blaxploitation one, we just threw you in with things like, you know, "What's frying cool beans" or something.
But that was under the assumption that I had seen and knew those movies.
Yes.
Well, yes, but this is totally under the assumption that you don't need to.
Don't worry, you're going to get more wrong really soon. But you have to play the game with
honor. But I have to get this
honor.
One right now.
Yes.
I have to say postal.
Yeah. Yes! Woohoo! Good work, Rybar. Wow. Rybar is quite the expert on Uwe Boll movie quotes, isn't he?
Wow. Okay. Rybar
you're
loves
good.
Uwe Boll.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm leaving.
No, Liz.
No. Rybar, sit back down. Sit back down and play
Rybar,
this game.
Rybar. The game is not
Rybar,
over.
Rybar, you have Rybar. A theme song.
Yes.
You have a responsibility to stay.
That's true. Rybar, don't worry.
Responsibility.
Do not worry. Like I said, it gets harder and you won't be able to get them as time goes.
Better.
Okay, so this one you might get, but I think after this you'll have trouble. Okay, number three. "Wisdom is our hammer." "Wisdom is our hammer." It's a lot of Uwe Boll movies out there, so it could be any. But
would it be "In the Name of the King"?
Oh yeah!
You are good.
Wow, good. That's. I gotta say, I don't. I'm. How did you?
You're
how did?
Me the wait, answers.
No, how did you come up with that? Like, how did you like figure that one out?
Take us through the process.
Yeah, I need to know because I don't like. "Wisdom is our hammer." Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was just a guess, or was it?
I imagine either Ben Kingsley or Burt Reynolds or some.
Okay.
Saying those lines, and I say, hey, this could be.
You should be proud of yourself. That is a logical deduction.
Yeah.
It just shows that you have deductive skills, not that you're a fan of Uwe Boll.
Exactly.
There you go. You're like Sherlock Holmes.
See, that's why we have Dark Uvis Rybar on the show for his deductive reasoning.
Yes. You're like House without all the cool drug problems. Mm. If you get on that, though, that would be kind of sweet.
I'm working
give
on
a little,
it.
A little more edge, maybe a little Vicodin, a little, you know, Oxycontin.
Are you as skilled with inductive reasoning? Or is it just deductive? Or,
why you gotta put him on the spot like that?
Yeah, I'm
skilled
with nothing but.
Yeah, I'm more skilled in inductive, because isn't that the one where you just have to, like, you kind of come up with what it is?
Yeah, you just
kind of
add things to it. Yeah,
that sounds like me.
Yeah.
I would do that. If I was House, everyone would die at the end of the show, like, without a doubt.
You just pump them full of everything.
Yeah.
They have everything. They have, like, chicken pox, and they've got...
Yeah, I would just start making generalizations about, like, certain sicknesses. It would be great.
That's what I'm doing. I'm making generalizations, except that...
Now,
you only directed a handful of movies, so
this one I'm pretty sure you won't get. So yes. This should make you happy. Okay, this one you shouldn't get. So this is now number 4,
mm-hmm.
and number 4 of the Uwe Boll movie quote.
We know you're all playing along at home.
Is you should be. Here we go. But
you,
George.
You don't have to.
Oh, let me start that again. But George, you promised me I'd see a whale.
I think it goes a little like this. But George, you promised me I'd see a whale.
That was scary good.
Yes, that was scary good. You should be in an Uwe Boll movie.
Yeah, I've got the acting chops for it.
You do. You really do. Yes.
Yes.
I would say you're far better than most of the actors. Except there were quite a few.
And I know I'm far better than all of them, and I know I can't act.
But here we go, Rybar. This is your chance to distinguish yourself by not knowing the answer. But George, you promised me I'd see a whale. Or as anime said it, which was, you know, way better.
I am going to have to say I don't know this one.
Okay. You don't even want to just throw out a guess?
Just name a Uwe Boll movie.
Yeah.
Any Uwe Boll movie.
Wow. It's so tough to remember some of the other ones, you know.
Just name one
Blood
that you know.
Rain or,
see, get it wrong. Like don't be afraid to just get it wrong.
Or
like,
Seed
you know?
or.
I think he's more afraid of getting it right.
I know. I'm terrified
out the right thing completely by accident. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. I mean,
if he pulls it out though, it'll be a testament to his deduction.
Deductive, yeah.
If he gets it wrong, it'll be a testament to him not liking Uwe Boll. So
yeah. So it's a win-win.
It's what's called a win-win and a lose-lose.
Well,
at least a catch-22. Actually.
Here's the thing. I don't quite know his entire filmography. I think I've sort of lost track.
It's okay.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's good. That means that you're definitely most likely going to miss.
You know,
this
I
one.
Didn't buy the collection on Blu-ray.
You should have.
Well, you should.
Like some people on
this. Yes, well, you know. You know what the worst part was?
I don't even know if movies are on Blu-ray.
I don't know
they
if they
should
are.
Should be.
I think
just
some
so you
of the
cannot buy
might
them.
Be. You know what's really funny though is that we had an easier time getting access to all the Uwe Boll movies than the Saturday Night Live movies.
Yeah,
if that will tell you anything about you know,
it's what they're made for.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mass consumption.
Okay, so name a movie.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of one that I haven't named yet.
You can name
you know how it is.
Sometimes
Dead.
We double them up. You know,
it's possible.
House of the Dead or Blood Rain or.
We'll just take your guess as House of the Dead.
Is your answer House of the Dead, Rybar?
I don't want to say House of the Dead, but I guess I'll have to say House. Or Alone in the Dark.
Okay, well,
we will accept Alone in the Dark or House of the Dead.
Is that your final answer? Alone in the Dark or House of the Dead?
You want me to say House of the Dead?
I don't care what you say.
You're leading me towards House of the Dead.
No, I actually...
I'm leading you towards anything.
Yes. Then I say House of the Dead.
Well, you're wrong. Congratulations. It's actually not either one. It's actually Far Cry.
Uh-huh.
Far Cry.
Yes.
With Hugo Stiglitz.
Okay, yes.
So, congratulations. That is the first one you got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that is a legitimate Uwe Boll movie I have not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so congratulations on that. We're very proud of you for
that
one.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Okay, so next we are to number 5. You have so far gotten, 3 rights and 1 wrong.
Jeez.
So now we're going to go to number 5. You might get this one wrong,
Please tell me there's more than 5.
Oh, yes, way more than 5.
More than 5.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
so
you know us. I mean, on Black Exploitation, we did 16.
I'm sure by the end, you'll definitely have more wrong. I got to assume this.
I can't wait.
Which I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing, really. It really depends on how you feel about the whole thing.
So I'm just, okay.
Okay. But doing this, let's do this. Okay, number 5 of the Uwe Boll movie quote game. Guys, check out this book. Looks pretty old. Maybe it'll help us.
An old, dusty book that might help them.
And it's a group of people. Guys, check out this book. Looks pretty old. Maybe it'll help us.
That's some logic right there from our cast.
Would that be Alone in the Dark or no?
I don't know.
I don't know. Is it?
Is that your final answer?
Don't be afraid.
I'm gonna have to say yeah. Again, I would have to say yes. I'll say that is my final answer.
Alone in the Dark is your answer?
That would be yeah.
Well, that is Ron. It is. House of the Dead.
Yeah, Rybar, that is House of the Dead. You were wrong, and that rocks for you.
This is one of the few times
there's a scary thing.
Is
I kind of almost had a I'm like legitimately wrong in this one.
Yeah, and you even saw that movie. See,
yeah,
I mean,
that's
like,
the thing.
Yeah,
you were legitimately wrong. Yes, you're right.
Because you know, an old book is always the most logical thing to help us. Like an old book that looks like it's never been opened. So, it's covered
well,
in dust.
You're doing a lot better now. Now it's 3 right and 2 wrongs. So you're getting there. You're getting there pretty soon.
Almost
and this might be the clincher. Actually,
right,
this one might be the one ties it up.
Nice.
We'll see.
Nice.
Now this one is special because it's a two-parter. It's a conversation between two people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to say, you know, what one person says, and then, you know.
How about you do the one person, and I'll do the other?
Okay. Do you
I know both of the.
Okay.
There's only two that are two-parters, right?
Yes.
I know them both.
Which one would you like to do?
I'll do the second. You started, and I'll do
the first
second.
One? Yeah. Okay. Here we go. It's a warning.
What's a warning? So let's give it that again.
Let's try again. Ready? It's a warning.
What's a warning?
Now keep in mind, it's a character who has read an ancient language and translated it.
And also keep in mind that I don't think the question was supposed to come out like they didn't understand what the word warning means.
But it certainly
did.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's try it again. It's a warning.
What's a warning?
Happy blood rain.
No, that is not blood rain.
No, that is in fact Alone in the Dark.
Yeah.
So good work.
Uh huh.
You are now
tied up three and three.
Man, you are killing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon there'll be nothing but a bunch of wrong, you know, red marks.
Nice.
Yay!
All right. Well, now that you're tied up for you know. For that. Next, we'll go to the next one. Now, this one you're definitely not going to get, so don't worry. There's no possible way in the history of the planet you'll get this one. But it's fun to play the game nonetheless. And so this is question number 7 of the Uwe Boll movie quote game. Are you ready for this? This is actually a two-parter, too, but I think I'll do both parts because I don't think anime knows both these parts.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It
okay.
Can't be a two-parter because there's only one answer.
Well, no, not a two-parter. Just two. It's two characters.
Yeah, two characters.
Ah.
So I'll be one character, then I'll take a pause and be the other character. Okay. Here we go. How'd he die? His sins caught up with him as they always do.
That is how he answers the question of how the person died.
Yes. Now, I will give you a hint. This would be considered a more recent Uwe Boll film.
I can't even claim that you may have heard of it. So,
yes.
So
would it be Seed or... no. What is some of his more recent...
Yeah, I don't even think you've heard of it. Like, I don't think anyone's actually heard of it.
He hasn't really made a movie in like a year. It's been so long.
I believe this movie came out last year or this year.
I don't think they actually come out.
Yeah, that's
I got
they haven't come out since, I think, In the Name of the King.
I'm sorry, it was released on DVD.
Or Netflix.
Or Netflix.
This year?
Last year.
I'm just going to have to say I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know this one.
Well, I'll give you a hint that won't help you at all. One of the stars is Luke Perry.
Luke
see?
Perry.
See, now you still don't know.
Luke.
See? Okay.
I'm not surprised, and yet I didn't even know that Luke Perry was in one of his movies.
Oh, yeah.
He is
but
now.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, cream of the crop.
So this movie is called The Final Storm.
The Final Storm.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
I absolutely, legitimately did not know.
I think we actually will have some interesting things to say about The Final Storm when we talk about his movies. But
so good news, you have now gotten more wrong than right.
So what is it, 4-2?
Four wrong, three right.
Yeah,
wow,
congratulations.
Bravo.
We're very proud of you.
Hey, we got a few more. Let's
studying.
We're a little worried in the beginning there, but you're really pulling through.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So now number 8 of the Uwe Boll movie quote game.
You don't have to say that every time.
Yes, I do. Is here we go. I wanted to die fast, you know, like by shark. I wanted to die fast, you know, like by shark.
This is the comic relief guy.
However, you know, this is one of those things where you're starting to make the movies almost seem somewhat appealing. It's like I gotta somehow see someone say that.
Yeah. Mm.
That was actually probably the funniest line in that movie. Which
it's a movie you haven't seen, I can tell you that.
Then
much.
I don't know it.
Well,
I don't know it.
I know.
I don't know it.
Guess a movie.
Gotta guess something.
Guess a name.
Guess a name.
Just guess a title.
I will say, but I can only say his early works, like House of the Dead.
You can also say any of the ones that we've mentioned thus far. Any of the ones that you haven't seen that we've said. You know.
Or Far Cry or
Exactly, a movie uh-huh. like that.
Please don't tell me you said Far Cry and it's from Far Cry.
Uh-huh. You said the word Far Cry.
We will take that as you got Far Cry. Right.
Good job.
Yeah.
Come back, Rybar. Rybar, you have a responsibility.
You better tell me that there's at least more than I could get wrong.
There are definitely more to get wrong. Don't worry,
Rybar. You are just
you're
awesome
a genius.
At this.
No, I'm not. That's it,
Rybar. Really? I think that I'm actually really impressed right now because you know
your deductive why? Reasoning
because,
is awesome
because you're putting your ego to the side and you're saying, you know what, I'm going to try to play this game fairly, even if it makes me look really terrible. And I think that's awesome. I think that's really cool.
Play the game fairly.
Yes. Yes. And
you're not afraid.
You're not afraid.
I am afraid.
Yeah. You are not, the least cowardly yes. person yeah. I know.
Least cowardly person I've been saying I don't know for some
you
of these.
You are not going
as
with the
to say
flow.
I give up.
You are an individual. And
when
you're
I when
strong.
You don't know something and you say I don't know, well then you don't know.
I am so impressed by you right now. You're
please
just, like,
stop
so
it.
Cool. You're like the Jesus Christ of correspondence over here. You're just
wow,
giving.
That's
just giving.
Interesting.
Yes.
Are you gonna kill him?
I'm not like Roman, so I think I'll be okay.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's
don't.
next?
Okay, so number nine. Wow, we're getting up there now.
Nine.
Here we go. It's not a bomb shelter. This is a God shelter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bomb shelter. This is a God shelter.
Postal?
Oh my
yeah.
God! You are good, homie.
Wow.
Now I would say you have seen that one. It was last
yes,
one.
I
so
have.
That makes sense that you'd get that one.
Yes, I have.
That one.
So
that one.
That is not a mark against you.
That is again for your why? Reasoning skills.
Yeah,
that's
reasoning
that is,
skills. Yes. I mean the fact that I'm using. I mean that's a brain cell. That's
you know
a brain
what?
Cell. That's
you,
been.
That's more than
you,
that's more
out.
Than Uwe Boll uses.
You're very brave, dude. Most people would just get them wrong on purpose, and you are trying, and that's a very good thing.
Uh-huh. Even to say I don't know. I mean, that takes a little bit, you know. And,
yeah,
and
well, you know.
To come to that conclusion.
Exactly. You're willing to take that little bit.
Okay.
And I'm going one step further, and I don't like this. I'm being sabotaged.
No,
and
no, not sabotage.
This is not sabotage.
No, no, this, no, is, this is awesome.
Sure. Okay, so number 10 of the non-sabotage Uwe Boll
I don't.
Movie quote game is.
Alone in the Dark.
You have to listen to the quote first for your answer. Okay. In my kingdom, there will be no word for madness. We will simply call it power. Let me
oh my god, he knows it.
Does he know this
oh
one?
Oh my god, he totally knows.
Let me
knows.
Say it again. In my kingdom, there will be no word for madness. We will simply call it power.
That's right.
This is a difficult one because there's lots of kingdoms uh-huh. in a lot of his movies. It's a difficult one.
Yeah.
You know, Rybar, you need to make a decision right now. You can either answer what's in your heart and what you know is right, or you can make the decision to, you know,
let down your
cool
fans
and like, you know, just pretend to be like everybody else.
Well, I have a legitimate. Okay, I have a legitimate. I would say, somewhat. Again, I'm wasting brain cells. I'm actually thinking.
Yes. And we appreciate
it's
that.
One
by
of those
the way.
Things where the line is familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at this.
Meaning,
way.
I have somehow seen something from whatever this
yes.
was. This
yes.
was, but it could be one or the other.
Mm. Well, you know that's a good point. And I think the thing is to focus on is you're losing brain cells for Geek World, not for Uwe Boll.
Right.
Uwe
no,
Boll,
I'm losing
that...
brain cells for Uwe Boll. I mean, let's face it.
You know what? He's a doctor.
He is
he
a doctor.
He can give them back to
yes,
you.
Yes, that's true.
No, he cannot.
Surgically, he could most.
That's the one thing we know.
Yes.
I've seen his movies. He understands surgery.
Don't worry, because look at this way. This will
he understands
fuel...
cutting things up. Yes,
yes.
And
uh-huh. This will fuel your discontent for the rest of the conversation.
I'm gonna say, in the name of the king.
Oh yeah! You are so awesome! Wow!
I don't.
Don't worry. You have a few more to lose on.
Few more to lose on. I'm.
Two,
I'm
three,
running.
Four.
Oh, please tell me that's. This is not...
Oh, no, is he up?
He's I'm up. Not up. I'm not up.
It's 5-4, isn't it?
Okay.
I'm not up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
Oh, no.
Come
on.
You're up. You're up a little bit right now. Yeah.
Okay, we got two. Right. We got a few more to get to, right?
Yeah, a few more to get to, yes.
A few more.
Okay, don't worry. More chances to lose.
Two more. We got two more left. And this one, I'm sure you're going to lose these. Don't worry. Okay. So, number 11. Are you ready for this?
No.
Okay. Well, this one I bet you're going to get wrong, so don't worry.
Okay.
Focus on the fact that you'll most likely get this one wrong. Okay. Here we go. You got till high midnight to make your peace.
I legitimately don't know it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right. You've got till high midnight to make your peace.
I think that's a fantastic line, and I think we need to figure out who wrote these things.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if
geniuses.
Dr. Bowl was a writer.
No, Dr. Bowl did not write this line.
One of his movies.
I think he wrote more than one.
No, he only wrote one.
Well, you know, a line like "You got till high midnight" does sound like some, you know, sounds like what's a warning?
Yes.
yeah.
It's a warning. What's a warning? It was the best part of Alone in the Dark, by the way.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I legitimately do not know this.
Okay. Well, you can just guess one.
You want me to guess one? Why can't, you know, N-A be, you know...
Okay. You know what? Because I know you're feeling sort of like...
But you want me to say something,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, we want you to say
you
something.
You want me to say a name just in case.
Just in case.
Because there's always the possibility that I'll get something wrong, and therefore that will work in my favor.
I have a good feeling you're not going to get this one.
We're giving you a chance to work in your own favor.
I'm pretty sure you're not going to get so.
We're just saying, guess anything. Any of them.
It's not seed.
No.
If that is your guess?
That's my guess.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Congratulations. You got that wrong.
That would be Blood Rain 2, I believe.
Deliverance, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this is it.
Oh, I forgot about Blood Rain 2.
Yes.
I forgot that he did that one. I thought
he did.
By the way, Dave, Uwe Boll, he wrote Seed, he wrote Postal, he wrote Tunnel Rats, which we didn't see, he wrote Stoic, he wrote Rampage.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know what? I thought...
He also wrote some of his older ones.
See, that's weird, because he did Seed before Postal, and I read that Seed, Postal was the first one that he had written in, like, 10 years.
Well, he wrote Seed before Postal.
He's been doing this for 10 years? Has it been that long?
Well, he's been,
We probably wrote them at the same time.
He did in Germany kind of before House of the Dead.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay, now we're on to the last one. This is it, Rybar. This is,
You do part one, I'll do part two.
Yes, okay. You win or lose. Would you like to do part one or part two?
No, you do part one,
just
I do part
two. Do it!
All right, here we go. So, like we said, this is a two-parter. Here we go. You created it all so you could be immortal. Why?
To live forever. You did it all to be immortal. Why? To live forever.
Would that be Blood Rain?
No!
No!
Not Blood Rain! Good job! So, Dave, what is that from?
Oh, boy. That is from House of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah. Because when you ask someone why they did something to be immortal, the best answer is to explain what immortal means. You know? To live forever. Thanks, guy. I got that when I asked you about why you did this all to be immortal. I want to know why. Yeah.
I just have visions of a Sega party.
Well, let's see what we got here. We actually have
a tie? Is it like 5-5 or no 6-6?
It is
no,
a tie.
No.
Wow.
But
no.
But I will have to say that if you had been lame, you would have just purposely guessed wrong. So you should look at this as a testament of not only your deduction, you know, your deductive reasoning.
It's a testament
but the
of
fact,
nothing.
But the fact that you're a truth-worthy person.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a lot more than we can say about Mr. Dr. Uwe Boll,
yes.
As we will be getting into very soon. So, Rybar, thank you for taking this pop quiz.
Uh-huh.
We apologize if it hurt. But I think in the end, you're going to look back and go, wow, I was the more honorable person here.
I agree.
Certainly much more honorable than Anime and Dave, without a doubt.
Okay.
No.
No?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No.
Well, you know, this is the way I would look at it. We're the ones who came up with this insidious game.
Yeah.
So in reality, you know, we're sort of like Jigsaw, and you're sort of like Cary Elwes cutting his, you know, foot off here. So really, you know, I would say we're the bad ones. We are Tobin Bell, and you are, you know, Cary Elwes, or, you know, whatever. You know.
Emmanuel Vance. Why don't we take our next break, and when we get back, we will talk more about Uwe Boll, because that's what everybody wants to hear about all the time.
Oh, yes.
Friends are
full. So, please, can we talk more about Uwe Boll?